often desire the death of their own daughters, even though they do happen to prove a little refractory, this law was seldom or never put in execution, though perhaps the young ladies of that city were not unfrequently threatened by their parents with the terrors of it. There was one instance, however, of an old man, whose name was Aegeus, who actually did come before Theseus, at that time the reigning Duke of Athens, to complain that his daughter Hermia, whom he had commanded to marry Demetrius, a young man of a noble Athenian family, refused to obey him, because she loved another young Athenian, named Lysander. Aegeus demanded justice of Theseus, and desired that this cruel law might be put in force against his daughter. Hermia pleaded in excuse for her disobedience, that Demetrius had formerly professed love for her dear friend Helena, and that Helena loved Demetrius to distraction, but this honourable reason, which Hermia gave for not obeying her father's command, moved not the stern Aegeus. Theseus, though a great and merciful prince, had no power to alter the laws of his country. Therefore, he could only give Hermia 4 days to consider of it, and at the end of that time, if she still refused to marry Demetrius, she was to be put to death. When Hermia was dismissed from the presence of the duke, she went to her lover Lysander and told him the peril she was in, and that she must either give him up and marry Demetrius, or lose her life in 4 days. Lysander was in great affliction at hearing these evil tidings, but, recollecting that he had an aunt who lived at some distance from Athens, and that at the place where she lived the cruel law could not be put in force against Hermia, this law not extending beyond the boundaries of the city, he proposed to Hermia that she should steal out of her father's house that night and go with him to his aunt's house, where he would marry her. "I will meet you," said Lysander, "in the wood, a few miles without the city, in that delightful wood where we have so often walked with Helena in the pleasant month of May." To this proposal Hermia joyfully agreed, and she told no one of her intended flight but her friend Helena. Helena, as maidens will do foolish things for love, very ungenerously resolved to go and tell this to Demetrius, though she could hope no benefit from betraying her friend's secret, but the poor pleasure of following her faithless lover to the wood, for she well knew that Demetrius would go thither in pursuit of Hermia. The wood in which Lysander and Hermia proposed to meet was the favourite haunt of those little beings known by the name of fairies. Oberon, the king, and Titania, the queen of the fairies, with all their tiny train of followers, in this wood held their midnight revels. Between this little king and queen of sprites there happened, at this time, a sad disagreement. They never met by moonlight in the shady walks of this pleasant wood, but they were quarrelling, till all their fairy elves would creep into acorn cups and hide themselves for fear. The cause of this unhappy disagreement was Titania's refusing to give Oberon a little changeling boy, whose mother had been Titania's friend, and upon her death the fairy queen stole the child from its nurse and brought him up in the woods. The night on which the lovers were to meet in this wood, as Titania was walking with some of her maids of honour, she met Oberon attended by his train of fairy courtiers.
"Ill met by moonlight, proud Titania," said the fairy king.
The queen replied, "What, jealous Oberon, is it you? Fairies, skip hence, I have forsworn his company."
"Tarry, rash fairy," said Oberon, "am I not thy lord? Why does Titania cross her, Oberon? Give me your little changeling boy to be my page."
"Set your heart at rest," answered the queen. "Your whole fairy kingdom buys not the boy of me." She then left her lord in great anger.
"Well, go your way," said Oberon.
"Before the morning dawns, I will torment you for this injury." Oberon then sent for Puck, his chief favourite and privy councillor. Puck, or as he was sometimes called, Robin Goodfellow, was a shrewd and knavish sprite that used to play comical pranks in the neighbouring villages, sometimes getting into the dairies and skimming the milk, sometimes plunging his light and airy form into the butter churn, and while he was dancing his fantastic shape in the churn, in vain the dairymaid would labour to change her cream into butter. Nor had the village swains any better success. Whenever Puck chose to play his freaks in the brewing copper, the ale was sure to be spoiled. When a few good neighbours were met to drink some comfortable ale together, Puck would jump into the bowl of ale in the likeness of a roasted crab, and when some old goody was going to drink, he would bob against her lips and spill the ale over her withered chin.